Welcome to the Hatch Podcast for Hive.
This is Lauren Hollingsworth-Smith interviewing Andy Craven Griffiths for Hive. Hi Andy, thanks for talking to me.
How you doing?
I'm alright, thanks. Can you describe yourself and what you do as a writer?
What I do as a writer? I do various types of writing. I started off when I first started writing doing poetry, both page poetry and spoken word, but predominantly performance poetry. Then for a few years I focused mainly on writing songs and music, playing with a band, touring and recording. After that I discovered playwriting in a short format, doing like a 12-minute piece for radio in 2016. And then started focusing almost entirely on playwriting. Written a couple of plays since then. One of them has toured a little bit. The other one kind of just doesn't exist yet out on stage, just as a written piece that I've done. In the last couple of weeks, started going back to poetry because I've got a commission again. So all sorts of writing and probably somewhere down the road I'll write a novel or go into fiction in a different way as well.
Cool. So can you tell me how like your journey with writing sort of begun? What kind of started it?
I started writing after hearing my brother practicing his spoken word poems around the house and asked him what he was doing, said it sounded good. He explained and said that I should have a go. I went upstairs and started writing on a piece of paper. About half an hour later, I had five or six sides covered and had discovered that there was a lot of things that I wanted to say. I didn't necessarily know that I'd wanted to say them, and wrote more and more, read more and more, and kind of got better at saying them in entertaining ways. I did an open mic night, the first time I shared some of my poetry, did an open mic night, the paper was shaking in my hand, it looked like I was in the middle of an earthquake or something, and I was terrified, and I practiced it loads and memorised it, but still held the paper, and my mind was almost blank. Managed to say all of the words, terrified, got off stage, and then afterwards felt really good, had people come up and say they enjoyed it and got from it. So that was a new kick. There was the one satisfaction of writing down something that I wanted to say, and the second one of having other people say they liked hearing it. So those two things kind of got me hooked on doing open mic nights. So I did a bunch of those, got asked to be a guest poet and paid to come back and headline for those open mic nights. From there, then applied for festival spots, starting with Glastonbury, got my Glastonbury spot, won the slam there, was on TV, that kind of helped me get more gigs. And then, whilst performing poetry, was asked by some musicians if I wanted to make some music. It's very similar skills, writing a poem to writing a song. So I had a go at that. I learned a lot about music from them, music writing with musicality, rhythm, and working with melody and things like that. And then a friend put me onto the radio play commission, an open commission, which I applied for because it sounded so perfect for what I was doing. It was for writing something dramatic, a short drama piece based in spoken word. Having done that, it kind of opened the world of drama to me and writing plays. It just went from there, really. Feel free to ask any extra questions about any of those parts. I don't know how well I'm explaining it, Lauren.
Yeah. So, about spoken word and performance poetry, do you think there are any differences between, like, poetry for performance and, like, poetry for the page?
Yeah, I think for me, I deliberately make my page poems and my poems designed to be heard different because I ask myself the question, why is this a page poem, or why is this a spoken word poem? And the reason needs to be I can do something with it as a spoken word poem that I can't do as a page poem, or vice versa.
Yeah.
So when I'm writing each, I try to use the tools available in that format that aren't available in the other format. So, for instance, when I'm writing a spoken word piece, I am also writing the delivery, the way that I'm going to say the piece, because I can't control the tone and the mood of the delivery, the acting part of the delivery in a page poem. I can include rhythm, I can include rhyme, but still I don't use those as much in page poetry. I use those more in spoken word pieces, because they're a way of colouring the piece, flavouring the piece, keeping the piece entertaining through musicality, through the listening to it. So I use the rhythm and rhyme. They're not strictly just for spoken but or for page, but what I can do with the rhythm and rhyme is do it exactly the way I want to do it, because I am controlling it rather than hoping the stresses and the rhythm are written into the page. In terms of the way I deliver something, one thing I do sometimes in spoken word pieces is have the same line repeated but in different ways. So, for instance, there's a piece in which I say, and then real love, and then real love. And it's the same line, but the first one is excited, and then real love, and then the next one very serious, and then real love. And it's a comic moment because of the, you know, the difference with the same line, but I can't put that delivery into the page. Page poetry, you can play with line breaks in a way that you can't with spoken word poetry. And you can give extra meaning by breaking a line in a particular place, and each line is a unit of text. You can't do that in the same way as spoken word poetry and give that double meaning through the visual. However, having said all of that, some people write poems and they're for both performance and reading and for the page, and they don't distinguish. I distinguish, but that's because I want to use particular tools.
Do you have a favourite format of poetry? So, like, do you prefer to read them out or just to, like, write them for the page?
I prefer spoken words of reading them out, but that might just be because of my narcissism and enjoying an audience congratulating me, whereas I don't get to sit and watch people read the poem and say how much they enjoyed them. I do get a round of applause at the end of a gig, so maybe that's why.
Yeah. Is there, like, a particular process you have to go through when you write poems?
So, it differs. Sometimes I know how I want the poem to go before I put pen to paper. Other times I know that I want to write something and don't know what it is yet, so I'll rewrite for a bit out that excites me. But the poem that I write, there's a minute to commission on a subject. So I started from the subject, thought how write down 10 different ways I can approach that subject, or different focuses for that subject, until I found one that excites me. And so the poem I write is a minute from it, starting from an image that excites me. And then kind of working backwards and building the story that will lead up to that payoff of the final image. It's the way that I'm writing this poem is very much getting as many possible ideas down as I can, largely on little scraps of paper and post-it notes, and arranging them visually on my desk so that I know the structure of the poem before I write the language of it and the line. I'm pretty much at that stage where I've got the structure all mapped out on my desk, and I'm just starting to write the lines. And once I've written the lines in, I will go back to that draft and improve it, shape it and edit it, and then go back to that next draft, and probably it will go through four or five drafts until it's like to do.
So what do you think is like the most difficult part of the creative process?
Maybe, I think that's the difficult, I'm not sure, maybe having an idea that is distinctive from what you've done before and what other people have done that you've seen, whether that's in terms of the subject matter or the format in which it's delivered. Yeah, having an idea that's both exciting and new in some way,
yeah,
is the hardest thing. I find the writing of the language much easier than the actual idea.
I think many people think that, like, the most difficult part of, like, writing anything really is writer's block. Do you believe in writer's block, or what do you think
about that? No, I don't believe in writer's block. I believe that you can't instantly have the idea you want to have at any moment, but that doesn't equate to me to writer's block. I think you can always go away and read things that will give you different perspectives and new ideas. I think that part of the process of writing can be going and doing the washing up and taking your mind off a narrow focus. It allows your brain to make more lateral connections if you're not concentrating and trying so hard on, you know, for instance, at the minute, writing this poem about the future, which is the subject I've been given for this commission. So I think there's always things you can do. You can do free writing, you can write on different things. It's okay, I think, that you write 3,000 words and throw them away. I think if we consider that part of the process of getting, of moving towards a finished piece, then that isn't writer's block. I think writer's block, people think they've got writer's block when they're trying to come out with something perfect, finished first time, and when they're not allowing themselves to work sideways on a problem, they're trying to just finish it immediately right this moment. I think that time is part of the process.
Where do you, like, mainly get inspiration from for all your work? Is there, like, anything in particular that inspires you?
Usually I've got enough ideas for things I want to write stored up that I haven't had time to write, so I just start on one of those. Where they come from, I'm not certain. I write frequently just doing free writing onto my computer in Word documents and gather ideas and just see what I'm thinking. So one way is a free write to find out what's going on in my head, and whatever excites me from it, I write about. If I'm really stuck, if I want to write and I'm not sure, I go and read and get inspiration from that. Or I start from an emotion or do a writing exercise that I use in workshops to get me going. And yeah, there's always places to find inspiration, but I guess the main thing is I'm always just any sort of writing is basically the writer saying, this is how I think things are in this particular instance or tiny part of the world that I'm focused on.
Yeah.
So it's always, you know, just giving voice to what I think and feel.
Yeah. So, like, about reading, what are your favourite things to read, like, for inspiration or just for pleasure? Is there, like, a particular genre or format of anything that you like to read? Or...
I tend to read lots of whatever the thing is that I'm writing, because it helps the structures and the rhythms and the language of that type of thing sink into. So when I play writing, I read loads of plays, and I find authors that I especially like and read more of them. When I'm writing poetry, I try to read as much poetry as possible. In between times, I mainly read novels, because they're just really satisfying and they're great for the story.
Yeah.
But yeah, when I started playwriting, I went away and read 100 plays because I needed to understand how they work structurally. I don't think I could have done it if I'd have gone away and read loads of poems and tried to write a play based on that.
So about playwriting, you've been working on a one-man show. Can you, like, say a bit about it and what attracts you to the format?
So the one-man play that I've written called Joygonaut is about kindness and somebody who is isolated and trapped by their idea of what constitutes success, and that being winning, getting more money than everybody else, having a better car and a bigger house, and so on. What attracted me to it, to doing it as a play, was it seemed like the best format to get across the story. The story was too long to tell in a poem. And the playwriting meant the being able to do things that I couldn't do with a poem, which was, for instance, use various members of the audience as characters in the play. Doing it as a one-man show with one person, one actor, it's a lot cheaper to produce than it would be if I had six actors. But yeah. Doing it as a one-man show in the round meant that I could use members of the audience to stand in as characters, and then I could still have five or six characters. It still feel like there were more people in the play, but it remained cheap. Also, the subject matter of the play is about connecting with people and working together, so the format fits the subject.
What advice would you give to a young person who's aspiring to be a writer?
Treat it as a job. Don't romanticise writing as something based in genius and inspiration. It is a craft that can be learned and practiced and improved on. And treating it as a job and spending those times and being the time needed and being disciplined is the way to get successful at it.
And finally, what's like the worst advice you've ever heard, like writers or poets give to people? What's like the worst one?
Worst advice I've heard writers give. I've heard poets who mainly work in performance poetry advise young people not about the writing but only about delivery, about raising their voice at this moment and slowing down at this moment, and basically teaching them gimmicks that does not improve their writing whatsoever. That's terrible advice.
Yeah.
Any advice that's around, you know, oh, if it's meant to be, it will happen, or you just have to wait for inspiration, or those sorts of things. That, to me, that's the difference between an amateur writer and a professional. Is the amateur has this romantic notion, which actually stops people doing the work that will make them better.
Yeah.
But the way to get, when you are writing and doing the writing, new ideas will come to you that will not come to you if you just sit around and wait for inspiration. Doing the writing is a way of developing what you are capable of and opening up new ideas to yourself. That's a terrible advice for me, is people saying, oh, well, you're either a poet or you're not, or you just have to wait for inspiration, or oh, it's a thing of genius, or anything like that.
Yeah.
It discourages learning the craft and practicing.
Thanks for, like, talking to me. It's been really, really, really cool.
No problem. I hope it helps.
Thank you.
See you tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.